Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Vice and The Mule. Oh, I could do so much with that. I'll just leave it. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm okay, Joe. How are you doing this week?
Will not complain.
Oh, that is a good thing, because I have plenty to say myself, but not in the way of complaints. Well, I'll complain a little bit about the first of these two movies, but the second one I did rather like. And they're both kind of interesting movies, and they are both very American movies, and they are both of some interest, even though, again, one is quite a bit better than the other. The first one I'd like to talk about is Vice, which is a movie about a vice president and a very famous vice president, namely Dick Cheney, who was not all that long ago an important figure in America. And the most interesting thing about Vice, I guess, is the idea that we have a movie about a vice president. And I was kind of thinking back over so many movies that there have been over the years about presidents, particularly, I guess, by Oliver Stone. And arguably the best ever movie about an American president was Oliver Stone's movie JFK. He also made movies sort of less resounding than that about Nixon, called Nixon, and about George W. Bush, called W. We've had movies about certainly other presidents as well, and they go back a long time. One famous example from the late 30s is Young Mr. Lincoln, the John Ford movie with Henry Fonda. And, we've had movies like Frost Nixon, the Ron Howard movies. So anyway, lots of movies about American presidents, not so many movies about American vice presidents, but here we have one. And of course, Dick Cheney was probably maybe the most sort of famous vice president ever. Gerald Ford, of course, was enormously important because he rose from being vice president to being president when Nixon resigned. But Cheney, for somebody who was a vice president and just a vice president, is probably the most famous and powerful of them all. So we have here a movie about Dick Cheney, a fiction movie, I must say, and a satirical fiction movie at that, and Cheney is played by Christian Bale. And what we have here is a kind of, it jumps back and forth in time a fair amount, but it covers Cheney's pretty much his whole career, going back to his youth when, according to the movie at least, and I think this is pretty accurate, he was a very irresponsible young man, a lot of drinking, a lot of bad stuff going on in his life. I mean, sort of bad character stuff going on in his life. But then eventually he got his act together, partly with the help of his wife, Mary Cheney, who is played in the movie by the wonderful Alison Pill. He goes off to Washington and starts off there in a very sort of low entry-level position, but manages to rise up through the ranks, thanks in part to help from the very powerful Donald Rumsfeld, who he went to work with fairly early in Rumsfeld's career. Rumsfeld, of course, became the enormously important Secretary of Defense under George W. Bush when Dick Cheney was the vice president under Bush. Anyway, most of the movie deals with Cheney's rise to power and then with his exercising of various kinds of power in the White House. But again, it covers his whole, almost his whole life, and very much his rise to power as well as his exercising of power. So, as I said, Vice is, the title itself, I think, is meant to be a meaningful pun, because, of course, a lot of people don't think very much of Dick Cheney and the way he managed the vice presidency and the way he helped to manage America while he was vice president, particularly, of course, the incredibly ill-considered and ill-fated and ill-managed invasion of Iraq and its aftermath. But that's not all that the movie is about. But, of course, we are meant to think of this as about a vice president who is also a person of vice, and not just the kind of, well, not particularly the what we usually think of as vice, the stuff that's handled by vice squads in the police, but the kind of vice that is sort of bad politics and bad power mongering and so forth. So that is obviously what the title means to convey. And again, the movie is very satirical. It deals with all kinds of things in a sort of comical way and a sort of a meta way. We're constantly being reminded that this is a movie, and we're constantly being reminded that this is a satirical movie that we're looking at. One gimmick, and I'll call it that, in the movie, for example, is its narration. And I don't really want to give a spoiler here, but let's just say that the narration is by a character who we eventually discover is named Kurt, and he eventually shows up in the movie, played by Jesse Plemons, a very interesting young actor. And it's sort of an impossible narration. It's a narrator who we eventually realize couldn't possibly be narrating this story, and yet he is narrating it. That's one of the sort of mischievous twists that the movie has. I'll just mention one more, that there's one point where a couple of characters suddenly start speaking in Shakespearean verse. I would say not for any particular reason. It's not the most motivated twist in the movie. So anyway, again, all kinds of sort of quirky little twists like this. And not all the movie is quirky, and it deals with some very serious things. For one thing, it deals with some very dark twists in American politics, and it deals with serious things about Chaney himself, his heart problems, for example. Now, one of the challenges that a movie like this is inevitably going to face is that we have a whole lot of actors, and in this case, very well-known actors, playing very famous figures from American politics. So a challenge facing actors like this is that they have a kind of a double task to fulfill. On the one hand, we expect a certain amount of impersonation. We expect the people who are playing these famous characters to look and sound like these famous characters. And then we also want a certain amount of psychological interpretation of these characters. We want a certain amount of depth. We don't just want to have what impressionists would do on a late night comedy show or something like that. Now, in this film, the idea of the sort of psychological interpretation of these famous characters gets kind of finessed by the fact that this is a satirical movie and that we're not really having what we would expect to be very serious interpretations of these real life figures. So maybe we don't have to expect a whole lot of depth psychology in the film, but we do expect, I think, a certain amount of verisimilitude in the impersonations that are going on. And here I think the movie really does fall down. Now, Christian Bale, who is one of my favorite actors, he is a terrific, terrific actor, and he does look and sound somewhat like Dick Cheney. Unfortunately, Christian Bale also gives what I would call one of the dullest performances that he's given in a long time. It just is not a very interesting performance. Again, it's plausible in terms of impersonation, but it's just not an interesting performance. As for other people in the movie, I just don't even think that as impersonations they're very clever. Steve Carell looks and sounds nothing like Donald Rumsfeld. He looks and sounds always like Steve Carell, who I think can be a very good serious actor, a very good comic actor, but here he really falls down on that line. Tyler Perry, very, very famous and influential actor, and more than actor in today's movies, is Colin Powell. He doesn't remind me of Colin Powell at all. Eddie Marson is not much of a Paul Wolfowitz. Lisa Gay Hamilton, she's pretty good as Condoleezza Rice, but only pretty good, I would say. Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush just doesn't really manage it. So again, as impersonations, they don't really work, and they're not really expected to be much more than that. The main trouble with Vice is that I would love a good sharp satire or a good sharp serious look at Dick Cheney as vice president, and I don't think this movie really succeeds on either level. It just doesn't somehow make it. It's too clever, too cute for its own good. I don't think we need a cute movie about Dick Cheney. I was very disappointed on it. I'm very interested in politics. I'm very interested in movies about politics, but I'm afraid that Vice, which by the way was written and directed by Adam McKay, I'm afraid it just doesn't quite make it. It is a vice president of movies and never quite rises to the presidential level. The other movie I'd like to talk about today is The Mule, and here we have the remarkable facet of a feature or phenomenon of another movie by Clint Eastwood, who is going on 90, and the guy just can't seem to stop working. And every now and then he will announce his retirement, especially from acting, but he never seems to manage to actually retire. He's done it again here. The Mule is a movie which is written, directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Clint Eastwood, co-produced by Clint Eastwood, and you know what? I think it's a really good movie, which is much to my surprise, because I sort of thought that Clint Eastwood had kind of lost it by now, that he was just sort of old and just sort of going through the motions, but he is not. Now, I gotta say right away, his recent films have been very, very uneven. The last one that I really liked was Jersey Boys, which dates from about 5 years ago. It's a musical, and it's a very, very good, lively movie. I really liked it a lot. American Sniper, not so much. It had that movie was a phenomenal hit, also from about 5 years ago. Unbelievably big hit, but I didn't like it politically because it's about a sniper in the Iraq War and so forth, and I didn't like the sort of nasty patriotism of it that I saw in there. Didn't like it very much. Sully, a movie about a real-life American pilot, just didn't quite – a very, very interesting movie in some ways, and a well-made movie, but it did not excite me. Now, Clint's previous movie from earlier this year, early 2018, The 517 to Paris, is, in my opinion, one of the dullest, most tedious, most just unwatchable movies that Clint Eastwood has ever made. So that was it. Early 2018, I thought, well, he won't make any more movies now, and it's too bad that his last movie was such a weak one. But now, also in 2018, just from a few weeks ago, The Mule, and it is in theaters now, and I think it's really good. So The Mule is about a mule in the drug smuggling sense. Clint Eastwood plays, surprise, surprise, a very old man. And by the way, this movie is based on a true story, so it's about stuff that really happened. He plays a very old man who is in need of bringing in some money, and he gets this fascinating job offer that if he will just drive his Jeep from one location to another, he will get paid an enormous amount of money. And so he says, sure, what have I got to lose? And so he drives his vehicle from location A to location B. You know, it's a long drive, but he likes to drive. He is solicited to this job because somebody finds out that he's never gotten a ticket in his entire life. They need a safe driver. And at the end of the run, he is given this enormously large amount of money. Now, we might suspect that there's something nasty afoot here. And after a while, he discovers, because he makes more than one of these runs, and he keeps driving his car back and forth, and he keeps getting these huge payoffs. After a while, he realizes what is going on. That yes, that little parcel that they're putting into his vehicle when he starts off on his runs, and that they're taking out of his vehicle when he gets to the other end of his run, is drugs, or money, or both. But you know, it doesn't faze him in the slightest. Okay, that's what it is I've been transporting, but hey, nothing bad seems to come of any of this, so I'm just going to keep right on doing it. So it's about a very amoral guy. But this is a kind of an interesting thing, I think, for a movie to be about. And he is not only an amoral guy, but he is a likable guy. So even though we may not approve of what he is doing, we can't really help, I think, but rather like him. Now, there are, of course, a lot of secondary characters in the movie. There are, for example, some cops who are on his trail and who are figuring out what's going on and who are going after him. One of them is played by Bradley Cooper, who has had a very good past year in the movies, by the way. But Bradley Cooper is wonderful, wonderful as one of these officers of the law. Another one, a special agent of the Drug Enforcement Agency, played by Lawrence Fishburne. This is a totally underwritten role. He's barely has any reason to be in the movie aside from his basic plot function, but it's always nice to see Lawrence Fishburne looking authoritative on the screen. Other wonderful people play secondary characters. Diane Wiest, for example, is in it, a very tiny role, but she's very good. Andy Garcia is wonderfully sort of sardonic as this enormously important drug lord, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very, very interestingly cast movie with a lot of good people in it, but mainly it is completely a Clint Eastwood movie. The directing of it has the kind of smooth, effortless vernacular storytelling that we associate with Clint Eastwood's better movies, and his performance is just wonderful. He's an old guy who is really good at playing an old guy, and he makes this character likable and believable and warm, even though we know that what he is doing is not right at all. Believe me, The Mule is a minor film. It does not add up to a major film like some of Clint's most memorable films over the years. Bird, his wonderful jazz movie from the late 80s, for example, is arguably his best movie. Unforgiven, his sensational Western from the early 90s. These are major works by any standard, and they are the movies by which Clint Eastwood will always be best remembered. The Mule is not one of those movies, but to my surprise, especially after his wretched last movie that just came out, you know, less than a year earlier, I was so surprised to find The Mule being just an engaging, watchable movie with one of the best performances that Clint Eastwood has given in his whole long, long career. So I think it's terrific. As you probably know, I wrote a whole book about Clint just a few years ago, and let me plug that here, The Cinema of Clint Eastwood, Chronicles of America. This is another installment in those chronicles, and I had a good time watching it. So I would say that of these two movies, Vice, you can afford to skip that one. Mule, if you want just a little minor pleasure, you'll have a good time watching it. So that is my somewhat hot and cold story this week, Joe.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, The Films, Vice, and The Mule.